Listen, and I will tell you a story. It is one of the more fascinating and frankly bizarre stories from the life of Francis of Assisi. Amen. And it is centered around the town of Gubbio in Umbria of Italy. Gubbio, like many towns and cities of its day, had walls that protected it from the dangers of the surrounding forests, walls that stand to this day. But at this point in Gubbio's history, those walls were not thick enough to protect it from a ferocious marauder. First, it was the chickens that went missing, leaving only a trail of feathers. But it was the shepherds that first laid eyes on this whispered menace. For it was in the twilight of dawn that at the edge of a meadow there came a swift and large shadow, and with a bleat a lamb was taken from the flock. A large wolf was on the prowl. The town sent one of its best hunters to track and to kill the wolf. Surely he could eliminate the threat by night. But after a day, he had not returned. The search party sent after him quickly saw why. At this news, the town was in an uproar. They gathered all the sharpened steel that they could muster. Pitchforks and torches, they marched out into the forest in search of this monster. And yet, even with their numbers and their weapons, they could not subdue this beast. With every passing story, then, the wolf got larger and more savage. Soon, even the bravest of souls only ventured out of the walls and through the gates of the city, armed for war at midday. The rest were forced to live within the bounds of their own walled city, prisoners behind the gate, unable to move because of the terror that lurked behind the trees, waiting to pounce. Now, I realize this story comes to us from the 13th century, and today tales of wolves only inspire fear from cattle ranchers up north, far from these concrete safeties of suburbs and cities. But really, friends, I'm trusting that many of us can find something to stand in for this danger, this exterior existential threat. This being an election season and all, you actually have to avoid the barrage of fearful stories. It's because of this I have a newfound compassion for our sisters and brothers in Ohio and Florida and Colorado and New Hampshire. All these stories about our national debt, the nuclear ambitions of Iran, the melting of the Arctic, the spasms of gang-related violence. And yet, these threats, right, even if they're meant to fear-monger, these threats, immediate or distant, short or long-term, these threats all arise from the possibility of real injury and pain. And it seems to me to be a rather common approach to confront the threat that looms by getting a bigger weapon. This weapon could be literal, a clenched fist, an assault rifle, a nuclear intercontinental ballistic missile. But it also can be implied in the form of a devastating lawsuit or a flurry of them. The weapon can be the hint that you might lose your job, or that your hours might be cut back. This may be the loss of friendship or of closeness. These are but a few of the weapons we choose when we are confronted with the snarl of the enemy. Because what we are often reacting to can indeed be something or someone that wishes to do us harm. Sadly, sometimes frighteningly, this happens in our world even as much as we'd rather not admit it. But it is how we choose to respond to these threats which surround us that gives witness to the kind of yoke which we bear. And so it so happens that in the midst of this time and terror, Francis of Assisi traveled to the town of Gubbio on his way elsewhere. And while he was staying there in Gubbio with the townspeople, he had great compassion for them because fear had seized them. So he offered to go and meet with the wolf. The townspeople implored him not to go. "Brother Francis," they said, "he has already devoured many animals, people even. He will certainly attack and will kill you." I mean, really, who wants to be known as the town that sent St. Francis out to his death? It's not good for tourism. Francis, though, was undeterred. He walked through the gate of Gubbio without helmet, without armor, without weapon. It is said he armed himself only with the sign of the cross. Several of the townsfolk joined him in this mission, but as they got deeper and deeper into the forest, they began to drop back by twos and by threes. "We would stay with you, Brother Francis, really we would, but this wolf is so fierce and is hungry." And to this, Francis simply said, "Just stay here, but I am going on to where the wolf lives." Soon it was just Francis and his companion, working their way through the thickets and through the trees. And then with a snarl, with its jaws wide open, the large wolf charged Francis. In return, it is said, Francis made the sign of the cross. The wolf slowed down, is said to have shut its jaws. And then talking to the wolf, Francis said, "Come to me, Brother Wolf. In the name of Christ, I order you not to hurt me or anyone." Now, one version of this story has it that the wolf, upon hearing these words, came to Francis, and because it was such a large wolf, it stood up and laid its paws on his shoulders and started licking his face. But Francis remained resolute. "Brother Wolf," he said, "you must stop. You must stop terrorizing the people of Gubbio. You have not only been killing their animals, but you have been killing them as well. They fear you, they hate you, and they all wish you to be killed. Brother Wolf, I am here to make peace between you and them, so that they will not be harmed by you anymore, and after they have forgiven you, that they will not hunt you any longer." At this, the wolf is said to have sat down and began to wag its tail and nod its head. And so Francis continued, "Since you are willing to make and keep this peace, I promise you that I will have the people of this town give you food as long as you live so that you do not go hungry. For it is because of this hunger that you have done such terrible things. Brother Wolf, I want you to promise me that you will hurt no animal or person. Will you promise me this?" At this point, it is said that Francis reached out, and as a sign of the promise made, the wolf raised its paw and placed it into Francis's hand. With this, Francis and the wolf walked back to the town of Gubbio. Now, as you might expect, word of this encounter reached town before they did. And so as Francis and the wolf walked through the gate, the whole town was already assembled in the marketplace. Francis preached and spoke to the uneasy crowd. "Listen, dear people, Brother Wolf, who is standing here before you, has promised me and has given me a pledge that he will make peace with you all and will never hurt you if you promise also to feed him every day. And I pledge myself as bondsman for Brother Wolf that he will faithfully keep this peace pact." Then all the people who were there promised in a loud voice to feed the wolf regularly. And in all the ways that this story is told, the wolf lived with the people of Gubbio for 2 more years until at last it died in peace. What does this tale from the 13th century have to do with us in the 21st? It may be one thing to walk into the forest to a waiting wolf, but what of nations seemingly bent upon destruction, or those who simply see us as a means to their end? It seems to me that this story of Francis is one more witness to this yoke that Jesus has asked us to bear. A yoke that is offered in humility in the third way of Jesus. For when we encounter those who wish to do us harm, the two responses commonly offered us are fight or flight. Arming oneself to return force and violence, or fleeing in order to avoid it. The yoke that Jesus asks us to pull with him, though, is markedly different. It pulls towards reconciliation rather than domination, active engagement rather than avoidance. It is unwilling, ultimately, to see the one who is called the enemy as fundamentally other. It is a way that sees the wolf as brother, death as our sister. It is the way of risk. It is the way of creativity. It is the way of possibility for both sides to emerge as whole. It is the way of uncommon wisdom, an inconvenient choice in every time and age. In the 1870s, they were renovating one of the churches in Gubbio, San Francesco della Pace. And when they unearthed the area around the altar, they uncovered a skeleton. Now, this isn't unusual. There are many relics, the bodies of saints buried under the altars of churches all over the world and especially in Europe. There was one thing that made this discovery different. The body that was carefully brought into the church. Because the skeleton under the stones of the church in Gubbio was not that of a human. The bones that are enshrined in a church in Gubbio are that of a wolf.